Listen. You smell something?
Ladies and gentlemen of the audience.
We never talk anymore. What a lovely singing voice you must have.
Uh-oh.
Boy, this new program is really something.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, Ghostbusters game. Somebody should have thought of this years ago.
Ready!
If there's a steady paycheck in it, I'll believe anything you say.
We're ready to believe you!
Ghostheads, episode 33. Xmas marks the spot. Hello, folks, and welcome back to another fun-filled, mind-blowing edition of Ghostheads. I'm Jason Hughes.
I'm Luke Fanboy Crisali.
And with us today is Aaron Roberts. Aaron, how are you doing today?
Hey, guys. It's snowing in New York, so I'm happy.
You're the one.
Well, it was. It's not anymore.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, it looks like it snowed on like a fair amount of the eastern seaboard today, especially if you were a Philadelphia Eagles fan and was trying to watch that game.
Nothing Rogues fan.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing like 6 or 7 inches of snow on the field, and they still played. So that was worth the several $1 million everybody got paid for today.
That's some good sportsing.
Did they score a home run or a basket?
They sportsed really hard today.
Yeah, it was a good sportsing all around, I believe.
I know nothing of football or sports. Not because I'm a woman, but because I tried to like sports and I failed miserably.
Tell me what this baseball.
I just kind of sit around and just watch it. I'm like, oh, okay, they're going down the field. That's great. Yeah. I'll go read a news article. And, you know, I'll see you guys in 20. You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, you're still here? Okay.
It's like, you guys want anything? Drinks? Nachos? Sweet. Okay. I'll be back in 20. And go from there.
Speaking of news, I have news. It's all you can eat barbecue rib night at the Sizzler.
Again?
Where are Sizzlers anymore? Are there any Sizzlers?
I was going to say, are there Sizzlers in Staten Island? Because I haven't seen a Sizzler since, like, 99.
Actually,
a Sizzler not too far from my house, then it became a Chevy's, and then it became a CVS, which is what it is now, which will last maybe 6 months until it closes down and becomes a Walgreens.
It would become a Walgreens. Now, the question is, does Sizzler even exist anymore?
I don't think it does.
I looked it up a couple of weeks ago. It does. It's nowhere near us. I think it's like in California now. I think the closest one is maybe Ohio, and nobody cares about Ohio. Sorry. Try and fight me out.
One of those like buffet-style restaurants. They're like, you know, country buffet and
hometown buffet.
No, there's country buffet and there's hometown buffet and there's another one that's escaping me right now, but I see.
Well, there's also old country buffet and
old country buffet, and then there's like another one that's escaping me. But I know when because we drive down to Virginia at least 3 times a year to see my fiance's family, and I know when we get to the South when I start seeing Cracker Barrels and old country buffets.
Cracker Barrel is the best. I know there's one not too far from Jason.
Yeah, there's about it's a good 20-minute drive from me, the nearest Cracker Barrel.
I don't know when I was at.
That's what people tell me. And I said to Dale, my fiance, I was like, you know, everybody tells me that I need to go to Cracker Barrel because I've actually never been. And he was like, well, all those people are from the North and have never had real country cooking. So we're just better off going to my family's house and having the real country cooking instead of paying for it. So now I'm kind of like not interested.
Well, I mean, it's a good experience. Don't get me wrong. It's not something I would deem going to, you know, all the time. Maybe a few times a year. Maybe.
So I shouldn't replace my Chipotle habit. Nice word. I should not replace my Chipotle habit with a Cracker Barrel habit.
Well, let me put it to you this way. There, when you go to Cracker Barrel, you get a lot of food. For the price you pay, it's worth it for the money.
But the quality is what I'm interested in.
Well, quality, at least the one near me, I thought was pretty good. I didn't have any complaints. If you leave there hungry, there's a serious problem.
You have tapeworm.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a vegetarian, or you have a tapeworm.
One of the two.
What I need to get out here is, Aaron, we live in New York, and you go to Chipotle? Come on. Really?
I get crazy, man. What?
Peter Luger, come on. Best steak in the city.
Yeah, that costs money.
Wasn't there like a Five Guys in New York or something?
Just open your mouth and maybe take a scrap.
Right now. Yeah, there's... I know of at least three different locations of Five Guys in New York, in Manhattan at least.
Five Guys is... It's basically throw fat and grease in a sack and here you go. I love it.
Sometimes that's what you need.
So it's actually worse than White Castle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
no, I won't eat White Castle because I find it...
But like, it's clean grease, so you probably won't get food poisoning, if you know what I mean. Like, we can all agree that Five Guys is probably not the best thing you could be eating, but you won't, like, be puking your brains out the next day from eating it. Let's just leave it at that.
I'll go a little further. It won't be coming out of that part of your body.
It won't be coming out both ends.
I see. Although, go ahead.
It's good, but it's just... I put bacon on everything. I have a limit with this stuff. I can't eat Five Guys more than once a week because it's just, I could see through the bag. And that's not good for me.
You just squeeze it out. That's what the bag's for, to catch the grease. You just squeeze it. And then the grease comes out and then you're like, oh, I can eat this.
That's what she said.
Well, that is. Not to digress from Five Guys, but to go back to Sizzler, there is still a Sizzler in New York. In Forest Hills.
That's Queens. Nobody goes to Queens
on purpose. Yeah, it's according to Sizzler's website, it's in Forest Hills on a Metropolitan Ave.
Wow.
Queens.
The more you know.
As the star floats by.
Now I know if I ever have a craving, I'll say, Dale, I need to go to Sizzler in Queens. And he'll be like, well, have a nice trip.
He'll be like, let's go to Sizzler. But like, it's in Queens. No.
Well,
I'll go to Queens when you come to Staten Island.
I'm not going to Queens. I'm not going to Sizzler. I have to say that, like, after meeting my fiancé, my food repertoire has expanded greatly, and I've become very snobbish towards chain restaurant food.
You're in New York.
Well, I do have my cravings. Like, I'll admit, I am a Chipotle addict, and I am a Wendy's addict. Like, when we're on the road, the only place, like, one of the few fast food restaurants I will eat at is Wendy's. But when it comes to, like Applebee's, Friendly's. Are Friendly's around anymore? I don't know if they have Friendly's anymore either.
Oh, Friendly's are still around. The mall near me has a Friendly's.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure New England has Friendly's, because when we used to go to Cape Cod, you could hit a dead cat with Friendly's. Every 15 feet of Cape Cod.
My dirty, dirty, drunk secret is Pizza Hut. For, like...
Right. I'm drawing the line.
Well, see, with Aaron, with Pizza Hut, my fiance loves Pizza Hut, so I think you and her could, like, totally, you know.
Oh, God. No, well, it's only when I'm hungover because it's, like, the perfect blend of grease and bread. You know, because, like, when you're hungover, you want, like, greasy, cheesy stuff. At least I do.
Right.
I want, like, grease. I want the grease and I want the bread. So, like, Pizza Hut was the perfect combination of, like, cheesiness, greasiness, and carbs.
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that.
Jay, you don't get the comic. Do you live in Pennsylvania?
I woke up openly admit to eating Pizza Hut on our way back from Virginia this past Thanksgiving because I was so nauseous in the car that I just needed bread to keep my stomach down.
Can we all at least agree that Chicago has horrible pizza?
You know, I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever had Chicago-style pizza.
Like Jon Stewart said, you need to watch this for reference. It's basically tomato soup in a bread bowl.
Okay.
I like tomato soup in a
bread
bowl.
Shouldn't be able to cut open your pizza and live inside of like a tauntaun.
I don't know. You just put like cheese on anything and I'll eat it. I'm like, I have a problem with cheese. Like more than one. Don't shake your head at me.
It's in my head right now. Put cheese on anything, I'll eat it. And I'm just thinking, like, you know, cheese covered M&Ms.
I'd eat it.
Malamars.
I'd eat it. Well, it depends on the cheese. Like, for Malamars, I'd probably prefer, like, a Parmesan because of, like, the saltiness to combat the sweetness of the Malamar, and it'd be, like, a salted caramel type of thing. I'm, like, really into cheese.
Nobody can see it right now because this is a radio show, but I'm hugging my Malamar box and keeping it from her.
And I'm not even at his house where the Malamars are. I'm at my house.
Welcome to Fireside Food Chat. I'm Jason Hughes.
I'm Avril Lagasse, or as my father likes to call him, the missing link.
Can we fix this in post?
Wait, there's post?
Oh.
Nobody told me there was post.
Oh. No posta. Niente posta.
Great. Now she's speaking Chinese.
Italian. Italian.
Right now.
And everybody take a drink.
I'm working on it.
Well, I guess we should get into a little bit of news. Not, you know, maybe a little bit, you know.
But heavy.
Well, there's that word again, heavy. Is there something wrong with the Earth's gravitational pull?
No.
Back to the Future podcast that exists is throwing their arms up in disgust right now.
I'm sure they are. I am sure they are.
Sorry. I'm just muttering to myself.
No, that's perfectly all right. Well, I guess we should get this kicked off right. Starting off at the top of the news, well, I guess you could say the next big thing coming out here in the next few days to the next couple weeks would be from Matty Collector. The Neutrino Wand will be out for sale on December 16th.
Have to fit into your stockings.
Well, if you have a pretty big stocking, it could probably fit.
I have a very big stocking.
Yeah, it could fit.
Women's stockings? Because that'll make a difference.
More like the your like heavy like wool or flannel stockings, really.
Like wigwam socks? Those are comfortable.
Yeah, they would fit in those.
I love wigwam socks.
I'll be honest, I really haven't heard much about it since they announced it, which is kind of surprising.
It's a sign.
Well, I mean,
they done screwed up.
We actually got to play with it a little bit at New York Comic Con. It was Ryan Espen and I, and Aliko Aaron from Minions of Gozer. We actually got to go to the booth, and we were in our gear, so they took it out of the casing. The case, and let us play with it a little bit. And I thought it was cool. I was impressed by it, the sound effects and everything. It vibrates when it's shooting. I don't know. I'd buy it.
It didn't feel cheap or anything?
No. Well, I personally think it was really well made, and the basis I use for judgment is our really good friend Ron Maxwell, and he kind of handmade all of his stuff, and I think he bought a few parts, but not many. And I would say he definitely programmed and put all of the sound effects into the wand he made himself. And I would say that the wand that he has is equal to the one that Maddie Collector is selling. It didn't feel like cheap, you know, made in China stuff. It felt pretty reliable and pretty, like, high quality stuff. The meters were all right. The sound effects were all correct. I was really, actually, what kind of threw me was the vibration when you shoot it. It was surprising.
Which is interesting, considering that the, you know, hero packs and stunt packs had no vibrating motors in them, and the actual filming, they had to fake that. So yeah, it's surprising they put that in there.
It does vibrate when you shoot it. Says the only girl on the podcast. Hey guys, new toy for Christmas.
So I was going to make a pleasant joke about you running away with the pet, with the wand during Comic-Con and getting tackled, but no.
Not anymore. Not when I bring up vibrating. Then it goes to another land and nobody wants to touch it anymore.
I mean, it does look like that it is going to go for, I want to say it was around $130. The odd thing is, if you go to Maddie Collector right now, it just says that it's going to be available on the 16th.
Yeah.
It doesn't list pricing for some reason.
Told us the price at Comic-Con. I can't remember it exactly, but I do believe it was over $100, but I don't remember exactly what it was.
Does it really roll like the Ecto that never got to see the light of day?
I hope so. I mean, they took it out and like let us use it and were happy that we were excited for it. I mean, we showed up like really excited to see everything they had, and they were excited to see us, equally as excited as we were for it. So with that in mind, I'm hoping it rolls out. Otherwise, this is all for naught. It is going to be over $100. I wish I could remember. It was just like October, and that's like eons ago to me now.
Yeah. I want to say $130 was the price. And I know before they've set prices and it's gone up either $10 or down $10. You know, I want to say $130 is going to be the ballpark price range, which I feel is not bad pricing on something like this, especially for what all was in it. I mean, there still is that trepidation from the screw-up they did the previous year on the hoverboard from Back to the Future Part 2, which even, was it, series creator Bob Gale even wasn't happy about, which just brings up a whole lot of issues. Yeah. I'm thinking they're not going to screw this up.
I certainly hope not. I'm actually trying to pull up some of my pictures from this past year because we all took pictures with it. And I wanted to see, I'm searching through my photos right now and there's so many, if I could find a picture with the little banner that had the price tag on it in there. Well, but I believe 130 was in the ballpark.
They did a decent job with the trap with the PK meter, and I feel like based on that, you can't fault them. Yeah, the goggles were iffy.
I love the PKE meter, and we use it in our shows, and we have, I think, at least two of them are for the show, and then I think one of them is personal, somebody's personal PKE meter that they lend. But considering that we would throw them into shows, I just found the picture of the neutrino wand. It is, in fact, based on New York Comic Con, the neutrino wand is $130.
Okay.
Anyway, but if the neutrino wand is of the same quality that the traps are, then it's going to be really good quality because we use those in our shows and we throw them around. We beat the crap out of them. They get flung all over the stage and rolled across various surfaces, and they're still kicking. So if the neutrino wand is anything like the traps, I'm very faithful that it's going to be a high quality instrument.
Now, going to non-high quality instruments, I had the, it's called Displeasure of Seeing the Light Up Firehouse Prop or Bank or whatever that Diamond put out. $67, not worth it. Keep your money. It's poorly painted, doesn't really look any, doesn't look that great. It's not worth it. I had hope for it, and I was let down. I mean, I saw it in person at Midtown Comics. They could have done better. I could have done better.
Well, isn't it like way smaller than what almost everybody was thinking about, too?
It is pretty small. It's about, it's actually, to give a good impression of what I have in front of me, it's a little less taller than a Malamar's box, and it's maybe about, from front to back, I'd say about the size of an iPhone, maybe an Android. It's not big. And the sign itself on the front of the firehouse is really bad paint. It's a bad paint job. It's disappointing all around. So I'd say keep your money on that one. Sorry.
So a definite don't buy.
For me, at least.
I'm so disappointed with Minimates because I have such high hopes for them. I mean, anytime a toy comes out in a genre that I like, be it Ghostbusters or Doctor Who or Star Wars, I always have such high hopes for it. And I feel like the problem with Minimates is that they are so much like Lego and Playmobil that they get, there's nothing to differentiate them from those two other brands. Because don't get me wrong, I love the people from Minimates. They've been really wonderful to us, and they're such great people. They gave us a bunch of Minimates to give away for free, and everybody thought they were Lego people. And I think that's where they're a little, not wrong, but they need to like differentiate themselves in the market and why they're different and better than Playmobil or Lego or Mega Bloks or those other, you know, building toy companies out there. But
about the only good thing with the Minimates is variety of price. There's a lot of variety and for a good price. You get four in a pack and for a decent price with the Manny and the Mattel stuff. You could probably buy, I'd say, two packs of Minimates for one figure of the Mattel. But other than that, I agree. They're small. They're not really flexible. What would have been really neat was this, would have been to see ball jointed stuff, almost like in the mid-90s the Toy Biz used to do with the Marvel one. Ball jointed Ghostbusters figures, something that you could to an Ecto or a playset that wouldn't cost, you know, $300.
I feel like toys are so expensive now. Maybe I'm just, like, not shopping in the right place, but I feel like...
Well, it seems like to me with toys, I mean, I walked into Toys R Us last week, and walking through, and, you know, they have the newer Ninja Turtles stuff for what's on Nickelodeon now. They did another reboot of Ninja Turtles, which is awesome, by the way. And I'm walking through there, and I see this, like, classic Ninja Turtle series. All the, you know, the action figures and even, like, the turtle van from the 80s. Now, I instantly had the urge to buy till I saw the price tag.
Right. Right. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's what I kind of ran into at Comic-Con, is that, like, I see all these great things, but totally out of my price range.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, this turtle van, I mean, exactly the same turtle van. I mean, they went back, you know, got the Trendmasters molds, redid it. $100.
What?
$100 for this thing. And
what?
I said to my fiance, I'm like, would have totally bought this, or at least put it on a Christmas list. No way is anybody spending $100 on this thing. No way.
I think it was what, maybe $25 when we were kids?
Something like that, yeah. It was like no more than that.
Remember the sewer playset? That thing was probably maybe $60 at the most, and that was putting the price, That was basically like $100 back then.
Yeah, I could believe that being 60, you know, back then, you know, equivalent to $100 today. But and even like the classic character, like the classic action figures, I'm looking at them like, have that one, have that one, have that one, have, and you know, I could, you know, go pull them out of the attic and, you know, they'd be awesome still. But they wanted, I want to say $15 per figure. I'm like, no, no, no.
$8 when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Same with the Ghostbusters toys.
Is that like due to inflation? But is this due to like the economy? Could that have anything to do with pricing? I don't know.
I'm not
an economist at all. I don't feel like toys were that expensive when I was a kid.
No, because I've gone back through and look at, you know, you find the scans of the old toy catalogs of, you know, stuff for Christmas and whatnot, and it seems reasonable compared to like a lot of the newer action figure stuff that's come out today.
Yeah.
But you look at like they're obviously they're looking at, you know, us, you know, mid to late 20s, you know, the mid 30s, you know, us that had them as kids and, you know, we beat the crap out of them or, you know,
now
whatever.
We treasure them.
Yeah. And, you know, we want the stuff again. They're like, okay, well, no, these people have jobs. They're making, you know, whatever amount of money. Let's, you know, basically capitalize it and rip them off for half.
Yeah.
Is what it seems like to me.
They're not catering to the kids anymore. They're catering to the collectors. And they know the collectors are going to pay out the nose for them.
Yeah, there's definitely a market there. Can I use this opportunity to segue into something?
Sure.
So I am a bit of an addict to a website called tmagnet.com. And there are several companies out there who they sell T-shirts every day. And it's a different T-shirt every day. And each shirt, I don't think, is more than $10. So I have gotten like really skimpy in my T-shirt buying because I refuse to pay more than $10 for a T-shirt now. Talking to you, Her Universe. Love your shit, but I'm not paying $27 for a T-shirt.
Or Hot Topic, who wants you to spend $20 on a T-shirt.
Right.
Hot Topic lost me when they started selling Justin Bieber T-shirts.
We don't need to bring him into this.
Agreed.
The great thing about T-Magnet is all of the sites that they feature, one is the first one that kind of got me hooked is called T-Fury. And all of the artwork that you see on these T-shirts is from, like, independent artists who submit their work to these websites. And the websites say, hey, man, we like your stuff. We're going to make it on a shirt. And the artists usually get between, I think, $2 to $5 per shirt sold, which is good because you're supporting these local artists. But there have been a lot of Ghostbusters shirts on these sites lately. And one of them just recently was on T-Fury called Marshmallow Terror. And it looks like the cover of a a comic book. It's called Ghost Tales. And it's a really awesome shot of Stay Puft and the four guys standing on the roof of a building shooting at him. And it was on T-Fury a couple weeks ago for $10. And now it's on redbubble.com. The artist's name is Manny Peters. And the shirt is called Marshmallow Terror. And it's a really cool shirt. I think the one of the few things we as Ghostbuster fans can cling on to is the emergence of Ghostbuster-themed art and graphic design and things like that, because these are the, like we were saying earlier, like the group that grew up with these movies is now out in the workforce and making these cool things, so now we can actually go back and buy them. So these shirts are, I highly recommend looking at tmagnet.com daily, because they never announce what they're going to show before. The shirts change every day at midnight is a new shirt, and that shirt sells for 24 hours only, and then it's gone.
One of the ones that I always wanted to get that I never did was the Scott Derby Trap 'em All shirt, where it's basically like the tattoo art. Never got it.
Yeah, I think I have it the Sailor Jerry style. I actually know somebody who got that tattooed on their calf.
I wish I
could. We don't like him. Great.
I wanted to see some more Ecto stuff, and I never saw. Every time I saw it, I didn't have the money.
Yeah, I hear you. Think Geek actually just came out with a bunch of cool licensed Ghostbuster posters. Checking the size right now, they're 18x24, and there is an Ecto one. They look like vintage 1950s style posters for selling the products that the Ghostbusters use. And there's a really cool Ecto-1 poster, which I'm pretty sure was a shirt at one time. If you go on ThinkGeek.com, they're like $35 for a set of four. And they're pretty cool. Just seeing if there was an artist name associated with the posters, but they have not.
I need these in my life. They're actually very well done, as is most of the stuff ThinkGeek has. I still have in my food collection, yes, I have one of those, the Stay Puft Caffeinated Marshmallows, which are actually quite delicious.
They are quite delicious. I've had them myself, and they are quite caffeinated.
As is the Malamar that I'm currently eating, that I dipped in hot sauce. No, that would have been gross.
Why would you do such a thing? No, this is coming from the person who's going to put cheese on it.
Yeah. Admittedly, I'm dumb. But look how tasty these things are. I mean, you got the chocolate, then you get the mallow, then you get the graham. It's delicious.
You can't see him right now, but Benson is judging you. Hang on.
Yeah, Ghostheads has a new official mascot. It is Benson.
Oh, puppy. His little tongue is sticking out. No, good boy.
Benson is not a terror dog.
No. He's very upset with me right now. He doesn't know what I'm doing or why. Okay, go to bed.
Benson's a very good boy, but yeah, just looking at these posters, they're actually pretty cool. I mean, I remember they were doing this, but I really didn't look at it. I'm like, $35 and it's in stock. Why do I have the urge to buy?
I have the urge to buy. I just don't have the wall space. That's the problem.
Oh, I don't either.
It's stuff. We went through a period when we moved into our apartment where we just started buying like prints and artwork and posters and stuff. And we've been in this apartment for, I think, 3 years now. And we still have, you know, crap rolled up in poster tubes because we can't frame it. We don't have wall art. We don't have wall room for it. So that's the only reason why I'm resisting buying these.
That's the problem with a New Yorker is you don't have any space to put anything on a wall.
It's very true.
You're rich.
I'm not rich.
Yeah. You're an actress. I'm a photographer.
So we should be like rolling in it, right? I mean, that's the theory.
Yeah, that's usually the case. Well, at least that's the pipe dream. But
Pennsylvania, you don't have room to talk. Nobody cares.
Tell me about it.
Really, the cool thing to do now as an actor performer is to go to Philadelphia, because I have all these people on my Facebook page who are like, I'm going to Philly and I'm going to do things there because it's obviously so much better than New York. And then, like, lo and behold, like 3 weeks later, they come back to New York and we're like, hey guys, I'm back in the city. So
want some humble pie?
Yeah. I mean, I went to school for acting in Philly for one semester, and it wasn't bad, but I really wanted to be in New York, and that's why I left Philadelphia to come to New York, because Philadelphia is not New York.
Well, it makes more sense in New York. I mean, you've got Broadway, you've got broadcast television.
Yeah.
You know, that's a mecca, so it makes sense.
And you've got Staten Island.
Great. Yes, you have Staten Island. Definitely.
Okay. You know, I can't actually fight you on that point because I filmed, I've been in two TV shows and they both filmed on Staten Island, so I can't actually disagree with you on that point. But it is technically New York City, so.
It is one of the five boroughs.
It is one of the five boroughs, so.
Jay, you stayed here and you had pizza, so you can't insult them for that
much. Oh, yeah, I mean, that was some good Staten Island pizza, I will admit.
The Nino's is pizza. It's better than Chicago style, but then again, you know, this Malamar I have in front of me is better than Chicago style pizza.
You just don't like bread.
It's better pizza.
Why don't you like? But you're a runner. You should like carbs and bread because you need them to run. That's what Chicago pizza is. It's bread with like tomato sauce and cheese. It's like eating a loaf of bread with toppings.
Then I'll just have the bread with the toppings, but and I'll call it bread with toppings, but I'm not going to call it pizza because that what they serve there is not pizza. It is, to quote John Stewart again, it is a casserole. It is shit.
No, I like casserole. I like eating several food groups in one bite.
Well, I mean, there is such a thing as a pizza casserole.
Yeah, it's called Chicago style.
Well, I think we should, I guess, segue into one other thing.
Another city.
Since, you know, it's, you know, heading towards winter and, you know, it gets cold out and, you know, you want to have something, you know, to keep you warm. Over in the UK on a website that, well, the name is definitely direct reference to Goonies on truffleshuffle.co.uk, they are selling a unisex all-over print of a Ghostbusters logo onesie for, I guess, if I'm converting it right as being a crazy American, £29.99 for it.
I think that's
America,
like
the freedom price.
I think that's like $35. I'm not sure though. Don't quote me.
That sounds about right for U.S. I don't know.
Beyond words, how weird this thing looks.
Yeah, it's like I look at this.
Sorry, you guys seen this awesome Venkman jacket on superherostuff.com? The Venkman costume jacket. It's $70, but I'm contemplating it.
I don't think I ever saw that.
It's like a heavy coat or a heavy sweatshirt with, it looks like the top half of a Ghostbusters uniform, and it's got the proton pack on the back and the patches on the front. Well, they're printed. They're not actually patches. And the sleeve and the elbow pads are even actually like on there.
Oh,
$70. We saw it. Luke, you and I saw this on a guy at Comic-Con walking by.
That's
a guy walking by at Comic-Con, and it looked awesome. And it's just a jacket. It looks pretty sweet. Superherostuff.com, Ghostbusters Venkman costume jacket, and it's $70, but it looks totally worth it.
Yeah, it does look really cool.
The onesie.
I would take the jacket over the onesie, gotta be honest.
Yeah, I would. I'd have to agree with that. I would. This would be worth it, really.
If I got the onesie, it's sure the fact that I'm never going to have a date.
Well, yeah, that would be true.
Thanks. it just screams like, don't date me.
No, it doesn't. Come on.
I want it. I can't justify it at the same time.
Let's put it this way. The onesie screams friendship.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. The onesie screams friendship.
Onesies are getting really popular all of a sudden.
Well, see here, there again, you're angling towards, you know, our generation, because when we were younger, you know, the onesie thing was the cat's meow.
Yeah, well, that's one thing that should have stayed with our generation when it was our generation. It shouldn't have come.
I had onesies when I was a kid. I absolutely hated them because I was so, like, hot in them, and I would just sweat my brains out. And it's not like I could. Are onesies any different than footy pajamas?
It's the same thing.
Okay. Is this fleece? This looks like fleece, right?
Yeah.
This is what Chris Farley would have worn to lose weight to fit into the Ghostbusters uniform had he lived to go into Ghostbusters 3. He would have ran around Malibu wearing this, doing laps around tracks just so he could lose a little bit of weight. Because this thing will, like she said, this thing will make you sweat out the pounds.
They're hot as hell. I'm not even kidding. I remember, like, I guess my mom told my family members that I needed footy pajamas, as we called them, and as a kid, I had, like, endless amount of onesies, and I hated them because they were hot as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm looking at this onesie on truffleshuffle.co.uk, I'm sorry. And, yeah, it looks like it would be, go jog. If you want to lose weight, I suggest to go jogging in this, because not only will you be seen and not hit by oncoming traffic, but you'll lose some weight. It just looks like... I don't know. There's this resurgence of onesies, and I saw it. You see it at Comic-Con all the time, and there's like Adventure Time onesies, and Star Wars onesies, and now they have Doctor Who onesies, and I'm just like, why?
Oh, and there's also like SpongeBob onesies now too.
Like it's just so.
That's what I don't get.
I'm over being lazy in your own house, but like, I don't know. I'm a Manhattanite. I'm not going to say, what do I know? I'm a New Yorker, because that's your line, but I just like being dressed when I go outside.
I'm looking at the picture, and I feel warm already. Like, I don't mind being warm, because I run in, like, 100-degree weather, but this thing basically looks like it will simulate, you know, sticking yourself to the bottom side of the space shuttle during re-entry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the guy that's wearing it, if you're looking at the picture of the guy wearing it on Truffle Shuffle, he doesn't look happy to be wearing it either. He looks really annoyed.
No. And you look at the picture of him with the hood up, which, first of all, why is there a hood?
I don't know.
You know.
He's happy that there's a hood, but
yeah.
I don't know.
I'm laying around in my pajamas or whatever, thinking, you know what, this needs a hood.
I'm just picturing like college dorms throughout the nation being filled with young, educated minds of tomorrow wearing these.
Oh, let's call it like it is. Party school crazies, you know, let's call it like it is.
Rose in training wearing these pieces of onesie around their dorm.
I'm be giving them this idea. They're going to be filling that hood with, like, cans and bottles.
Maybe the pant legs, but I guarantee you there's no underwear under that. So. It's going to happen. It probably has happened.
I don't think I could wear this even ironically.
No.
No. Because there's just a whole... I don't know what you call it.
My dog just woke up and decided to join the conversation.
What is his opinion on the onesie?
He likes looking at it on other people, but he wouldn't want to wear it himself.
Yeah, I would go with that.
Corgi does not want to have a onesie. No, he doesn't.
This thing is just...
If we're even bringing it up. Suggesting the idea that he would wear such an item.
Yeah. I don't know. The more I look at this, the more I'm like, yeah, no. No. Absolutely not. Although I'm waiting for the one that has the little DeLorean on it, you know, from Back to the Future Part 2 flying around, and then I'm like, why?
Do these onesies... I just closed the window. Do they have, like, a back hatch, if you know what I mean?
Or an escape hatch. A butthole. Call it like it is. Call a spade, call it a butthole.
A back flap.
It does not say anything about having a back flap.
See, then it can't be considered
Fit at all.
If it doesn't have a butthole, it's basically a slanket with feet. A slanket. I have a slanket behind me.
If we're going to go into like the infomercial world, I believe they refer to those as forever lazies.
Oh, yeah.
That's
made America as even lazier than we already are. It's like everybody knows we're lazy, then that commercial comes on and basically just throws it and reinforces it to the wall.
Well, and the sad thing is you can tell they haven't sold well because they keep showing up on Woot every so many months. You know, there's like a day where they'll do Forever Lazy. I'm like, yeah, this stuff's not selling.
That gives me some hope. And I'm not going to lie.
Gives me some hope. Yeah, me too. Well, I think we pretty much covered news. I don't know of anything else.
Minions of Gozer has a show coming up in January. I'd like to hear.
Really? Where?
Yeah. You'll be happy to know, Luke, that it does take place in Staten Island.
Oh! I mean, yay!
Yay! Staten Island. It is January 11th at Full Cup on Staten Island. Tickets, I believe, will be on sale very soon, as they are not on sale yet. But yeah, January 11th at Full Cup on Staten Island.
Is it a pretty big venue? I mean, I've never been.
It's a coffee house.
It is a pretty big venue. It's kind of like a two-part bar. There's kind of like a coffee shop in the front and then like a nice event space in the back, which we have lots of room to play in. So this is the second time we've done a show there, and it's a pretty nice space, and there's plenty of room for everybody to be involved in the show, and you have a great time. There's a full bar, so you can have some drinks. It's nice. Maybe even a Stay Puft Marshmallow Shot.
Go ahead and tell them Marshmallow Shot, because they want to hear it.
Secret of the Booze, which is a YouTube show, came up with a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man shot. And if you go on to Secret of the Booze... Or if you Google Secret of the Booze, Stay Puffed Cocktail, you can come up with the video for it. And it looks quite delicious.
Sweet. Best you're me. And I'm no fun.
I haven't tried it.
Well, it involves an ingredient called rum chata, which I've never heard of, but it looks like a cream liqueur. So I haven't been studious enough to go and try and make it myself, but it does look good, and it does involve lighting it on fire, so.
I could just see it now. Mm. I burned down the apartment!
My eyebrows over a shot.
Was it worth it? Yeah.
Interesting.
Really wanted to see Ladder 8.
That'd be like one of those things that would just keep showing again on instant slow-mo on SportsCenter every so often, just because they could.
Me burning my eyebrows off, lighting a shot.
Straight edges as I might be, I'd pay to see that again and again. Because I'm a good friend.
I appreciate your vote of confidence in my mixology skills.
I stand by with the exporter. So what do we got next?
Well, Now's the fun part of the show.
Talking about Aaron Roswell is not fun, because that was kind of fun.
Well, that was fun, but now, now we get...
I like a lot of approval of Aaron accidentally, you know, burning herself.
Next podcast is going to be me making that shot and lighting myself on fire.
The video version of that would be interesting. Anyhow, I digress. We're going to do something, well, I guess you couldn't say really different, but I guess say, like, taking a look into the future, some theories about, I don't know, stuff that could, you know, possibly happen GB-wise, you know, anywhere from the next year to, you know, we could say 5 years at most.
Now, this idea actually comes from our previous co-host, Julie Vader. Shout out to her. I can't believe I just used the word shout out. Oh, God. I feel dirty.
I kept hearing rumors about Emma Stone being involved, but now, as of 2 days ago, she's apparently turned it down. So, if we want to believe the hype that she had the ability to turn it down, that means they're actually, like, shopping it around.
Well, with her turning it down, do you think it would, like, kind of a... like they're trying to fast track it, or when she start looking at the script, that, you know, she's thinking, okay, this is not gonna work for me.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
I don't know. I honestly stopped following a lot of Ghostbusters 3 news a while ago because it's just been like such
Yeah. Utter
for so long that I'm just like, okay, whatever. But the fact that there's actually like a script to speak of,
I think it's
raised some ears.
It's kind of like everybody came up to me just like they came up to you, and since they know we're Ghostbusters fans, they're going to hit us with it first. Hey, you know, Ghostbusters 3 is filming. We've been hearing that for years and years and years to the point of our ears just want to fall off. We're tired of hearing it because they think it's brand new news and they're going to give us something we haven't heard before. When we know, yeah, we've heard the whole spiel already. But then since the script nonsense came out, and within the past, like, I'd say year and a half, you kind of want to listen to it a little bit more and dismiss it a little bit less, even though it's almost always BS.
Right. I mean, it's also interesting, too. I forget the name of the fellow who basically came up with his own idea of a Ghostbusters 3 script, had a bunch of people that did it live, and then, was it a couple months ago, he actually released his script, you know, to be downloaded and people could read it.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, the guy's name is escaping me at the moment.
That guy that just sounds like a bad fan fiction.
I don't know.
I started to read it. I probably got about probably 15 pages in or so. And I'll be honest, I liked his ideas. They made sense. I mean, basing off of different things that had been said, you know, like the whole concept of, like, Venkman disappearing within the first few minutes of the movie, and how they would cope with that, I thought was interesting, made sense. Granted, I didn't read the whole thing because I got distracted with real life and didn't get back to it.
How do you, sir?
I'm going to say something potentially controversial in the fandom, and I don't care. Do we really need Venkman? I mean, yeah, he's an integral, important part of the movie, but he's not the only person in the movie.
I kind of do, because I love Nathan, but...
I know, I'm not saying I hate him. I don't, but it's just... there's always been all this hype on Penguin.
Well, are we talking about the character, or are we talking about Bill Murray? Because I will say that I think Bill Murray has gotten rather pretentious in the past couple of years with his, you know, newfound cults with Wes Anderson films. which I do enjoy some Wes Anderson films, but I think Bill Murray has gotten a little egotistical and full of himself past...
Actually,
maybe he's always been that way, and I just haven't noticed it.
I was going to say, it seems like Bill has always been that way. When you're starting to see, like, on the documentaries for different things from, like, Caddyshack and Meatballs, and I believe there was one for Stripes, don't quote me on that, you kind of see the pretentiousness or the very pickiness, and even things where, you know, we've heard anecdotally, I've heard, you know, different people that I've met who actually work in Hollywood, and, you know, I've had some sort of Bill Murray story or were told about some sort of Bill Murray story. I guess the best way you could put it is the man is picky. Very, yeah. Very picky.
Right. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but it's how you address your pickiness. Like, I'm very picky, but I'm not a jerk about it.
Right.
I'm a dude.
I feel like more times than not, as much as I love him, he has developed a bit of a curmudgeon-y, cranky side in his age. And I don't know. I think maybe that's could be. Well, it didn't. Wasn't there a story about, like, how he was sent a script and he, like, sent it back shredded or something?
Yeah, that was long since debunked, though, I think. But my main question to you guys would be this. Do you think it can be possible to do the third movie without Bill and make it successful?
Possibly.
Wow, I like this. Two varying opinions. Okay.
I want to say possibly because I've seen some up-and-coming actors and actresses in a few different movies over the last couple years. Some that have had SNL training or, you know, Second City training, you know, like Bill and Dan and the others, you know, from that time frame have. It would really have to come down, it would have to do really, really good casting.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be one of those things where, you know, you call somebody and basically talk them into doing it mainly for the money.
Right.
They have to genuinely want to do it.
Well, here's another thing I want to consider is when Ghostbusters was made, Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis were coming out of, like, their SNL years, and they were a very tight-knit group, and, you know, they hung out as friends together. They don't necessarily... I don't know that they do that anymore. So, would the chemistry between them have changed over the years? Would they have that same, you know, buddy-buddy mentality or chemistry that they had in the earlier films? Because that's a major thing to do with it, because I don't think Bill Murray is on speaking terms with either of them, as far as I know. I mean, prove me wrong, but I don't think they have that same... You know,
honestly, I don't know. I can give an example of that, of it working. Scream 4. Okay. It had been over 10 years since they had done Scream 3. And as far as I know of, you know, none of those actors really worked with each other for like a period of 10 years. And if you, you know, like, you watch the first three Scream movies and, you know, you see how the interaction is and it, you know, the chemistry works and everything. And then you look at Scream 4 and you're thinking, okay, it's been long enough that the chemistry is going to be off and it's not going to work. It works. And it's, I mean, it was surprising to me that it did work.
Yeah. I would be happily surprised by this. But I feel like it was kind of like, I feel like at this point it'd be like a bunch of college friends getting back together after, you know, 25 years and trying to make it like the way that it was 25 years ago when they were like, you know, buddy-buddy and
I think
out and drinking beers and whatever.
Aaron, me and you worked the Chucky panel at Comic-Con, right?
Yeah, that was fun.
Because
Jennifer
Tilly
scares me in a
they all basically took a break from filming the movies and then they got back together. They seemed rather friendly from what we saw.
Well, my thing is like Bill and Dan did, and I believe Harold Ramis wrote for SNL. It's too late at night for me to remember right now, but I really love original SNL stuff, like the original cast. They were like a pretty tight-knit group for a long time. Like they were basically like the first class of this school. So they were like really, really tight. And then they kind of drifted apart. And it's weird. It's like if you've ever gone to a school reunion, I don't feel like this was a job for them. I feel like this was like their life's work in a way. Like I was put on this earth to be funny. And Lorne Michaels gave me this job to be funny. And now they've kind of grown apart in their ways and done whatever they've done. The reason, well, John Belushi died. That's one thing, is why Ghostbusters came out the way it did. But would it have that same buddiness?
I don't think
you know what I mean. Like it's like going through 4 years of high school, doing, you know, a class together, and then drifting apart, and coming back for reunion, and yeah, you get along, and then drifting apart for an even longer span of time. Would the chemistry be the same?
Well, that's a very good question.
Because I honestly feel like there's a lot of resentment between Dan and Bill. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong because I would love to see them in something together again. But I feel like there's something going on there.
Well, I mean, could it still be two? Because I mean, Bill still has like somewhat of an animosity of how Ghostbusters 2 turned out.
Right.
I mean, you know, mainly of it being a special effects picture more so than a comedy vehicle.
Right.
I'm going to be in the minority here. I didn't have much of to this day, I still don't have much of a problem with GB2. Yeah, it's a little more kiddie, it's a little more hokey, but it's not a horrible, awful movie. It's not Baby Geniuses 2.
No,
it's not Son of the Mask.
Right.
It's not that bad. It's not Phantom Menace.
No, not in the least.
All this hate and animosity going towards GB2, it could have been a lot worse.
It could have been a lot worse. I don't have a problem with GB2 at all.
I don't either. I mean, I'm me and a certain other person that majority of us know did like GB2 better than GB1, but we're not going to get into that rat hole. You know, I don't know. I mean, and could a lot of this animosity towards GB2 could it have basically been manifested by Bill on the media circuit trying to promote the movie originally, you know, back 20 some odd years ago?
Maybe.
No, I've never really considered Bill Murray to be like much of a media guy. I don't think I've ever seen a press conference with him at all.
Right. I don't know.
I think the closest thing, I don't know. He does his little weird things. Like he shows up at a bar in
Grand Rapids.
Yeah, he shows up at bars and starts pouring tequila shots, and he does his little random things. He did it at the film festival, the technology festival out west that I'm blanking on right now because it's 12:30 in the morning. he shows up and he does his weird little thing, and everybody goes, "Oh my god, it's Bill Murray!" And then he kind of disappears again. He did his little thing in Zombieland.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, could it be like he's trying to find a shtick or something? You know.
That is his shtick, though. Like being the weird guy. That is his shtick. That's being the weird guy, trying to play straight is by straight. I mean, like. He's obviously a weird guy, but he doesn't realize he's weird.
Well, either that, or is it like he's like trying to find a way to be relevant, maybe?
No, he's always going to be relevant. I think one thing I remember hearing was he ad-libbed a lot of GB2. They basically just – he threw out the script and kind of did his own lines. I'm not sure if that's true or not.
I believe it.
I could see it happen.
Yeah, but if that is the case – could have ticked off the writers a lot. Could have ticked off some of the other people.
Dan. I mean, didn't... I always feel like Dan and Harold Ramis were like kind of the...
Exactly. That could have been where some of the animosity came from. Of, hey, we did the script and you don't like it. Now you're going to redo everything we did. Screw you.
Well, I could also see Bill of having a hissy fit. Especially, you know, since the comment was made that a lot of the jokes were reused. Or at least the jokes that weren't used in the first movie... You know, they used him in the second one.
Yeah.
But that's the business of sequels. You gotta, you know, harken back to the original, at least at a few points in the movie, to remind people where you're coming from. So.
Right.
That's what the problem's gonna be with GB3. Then he, of course, is gonna leave and he's gonna say, no, I don't want anything to do with it. So. I honestly don't think he'll come back for the third movie. If. They do it. I mean,
they only do it if Wes Anderson directs it, which will be like a totally messed up film.
I'm sorry, if Wes Anderson directs that movie,
no,
I don't know. I mean,
Anderson is Janine.
Yeah, I mean, now, did Wes Anderson direct Hyde Park on the Hudson?
No,
I don't think
he did.
Okay. I haven't seen that yet, but I'm.
I was interested in seeing it. I don't know. I, at this point...
No, he did not. That was directed by Roger Mitchell.
Okay.
Mitchell, who I have no idea who that is.
I don't either.
Bad me. Oh, it's the same guy. The guy that directed that also directed Hitchcock.
I didn't see that either.
Yeah.
All right, getting back on the train real quick. I'm going to give the one word... I need a one word answer. Will it happen? Yes or no?
No.
Your mind?
No.
No. No. I mean, it hurts. It hurts me to say no. But being a realist,
unless that like the three of them, Ramis, Dan Aykroyd, and Bill, are not in it. And they just, like, make it, like, a new... They reboot it to say.
All right, I'm going to go...
It wouldn't necessarily be Ghostbusters 3. It'd be a reboot. But I feel like the differences between them have become such issues that that's the only thing that would happen.
Right. Now, reboots can be dangerous. Usually... But I can think of one reboot right off the top of my head that is actually better than the original.
Star Trek?
That wasn't the one I was angling for. Good answer, though. Carrie.
I haven't seen that yet.
If you've seen the original, and I saw it out of order. I saw the reboot first, then I saw the original.
Okay. That's why.
Well, but, okay.
How I am with Star Trek. Is I always loved Star Wars as a kid, and I was just a Star Wars person more than a Star Trek person. My dad is a major Trekkie, tried to introduce me to Star Trek, and I just didn't get it. But now, as an adult, I'm getting it, and after seeing, because my fiance is a huge Star Trek fan, after seeing the new the J.J. Abrams reboots, I'm now like kind of catching up on. Everything I've been missing out on.
Right. But I mean, this reboot of Carrie, it makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
Like they explain so much more. Because if you watch the original, there's different times where you're like, okay, what's going on? How did we get to this point?
Yeah.
It's like they glossed over a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But...
I love Julianne Moore. Now I really want to see it. And I love Carrie as well.
It's worth it. The movie is definitely worth it.
Part of me wants to say that it wouldn't work, the reboot. Because it's just been talked about so much at this point that I don't see it being successful.
But have they actually ever said it? You know, I've never heard the term reboot. I've always heard, you know, the concept of them passing the torch. Never the reboot.
Well, I'll put this one to you. Say we don't get a reboot and we don't get GB3. Where does the fandom go?
That's a very good question. Honestly, I don't know. Sorry about that, folks. Skype works when it wants to and doesn't when it doesn't want to. Luke, what was your question again for Aaron?
Well, it's actually a question for both of you. Let's say, hypothetically or realistically at this point, we don't have GB3. We don't have a reboot. Where do you see the fandom going from there? Do you see it completely collapsing inward, or do you see it just fading and dying out and being forgotten?
I mean, at this point, I mean, I feel like it's going to keep doing what it's doing. I feel like parents are going to show their kids the film, and the kids are going to grow up as fans. We're going to keep seeing new art and designs from it, and the, you know, like the t-shirt stuff I was talking about earlier. I don't think it's going to die out. I mean, it was such a huge thing. I mean, there's still people, you can go to Comic-Con and there's still people dressed as He-Man and stuff. So, I mean, if He-Man has a chance, I think Ghostbusters certainly will live on forever. It's in everybody's, I don't know, when I say everybody, I'm slowly learning that I had a very different childhood than most people. So, I think it's in most people's minds as like one of their films they grew up with, and they're going to show it to their kids. We have kids at our shows all the time. I think it's just going to turn into a generational thing. At least for the next 20 years.
I agree with that. I don't think it would, you know, basically blank out of existence. I mean, there's still going to be, you know, at the very least, the comic book is going to live on for a while. That seems to be doing really well. You know, if a movie doesn't come to fruition, which we're, you know, all three, you know, 99.9% sure it's not going to happen, I think it'll stand off on its own. I mean, maybe someone will come up with an idea and be able to actually do a cartoon series again that isn't based primarily around a toy line. And, you know, it actually works. And, you know, that could be an angle, too. You know, or even someone could come up with an idea for another video game. Video game turned out well.
I would like another video game.
Yeah, I could agree with that one. I could put weight in that. See, that's where Bill confuses me, because Bill is all gung-ho and crazy about the game, but then when the third movie comes around, or the talk around the third movie comes around.
Because for the game, he gets to sit in a recording studio with a glass of scotch, and he can sit there and not have to move around and not have to emote too much. He can just sit there in a recording studio and talk for however long and get paid equally as much as he would for doing the film. If not, you know, maybe more, because they can make more off a video game than possibly what they would spend on making a film.
That's true. Grand Theft Auto 5, prime example.
Yeah. I mean, I think most of these, like, look at Mark Hamill. I think a lot of, you know, sci-fi and actors from the 70s and 80s are now turning to voiceover work because it's so easy for them. They can sit in a studio for a day. Like, let's think about the time that Mark Hamill spent recording The Joker. I think he recorded, like, everything he needed to do for Arkham Asylum in probably a day. So it's a day sitting in a studio recording these little sound bits, taking your time with it. It's like really easy work for them. So, and it pays well. So, I mean, why not? Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I'd kill for a job like that, but...
Well, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would not be a bad thing. I don't think. I guess that pretty much... ties it off. I mean, I don't know of anything else to really kind of emote on or look into the crystal ball and, you know, see the future. Anything, you know, that you're, you know, seeing or thinking about, Luke, at all?
Honestly, I would like a dancing toaster. I mean, it is Christmas. And it's been, what, 3-4 years? I still haven't gotten one.
I want you to know that every time I get a survey from Think Geek in the mail or via email, so every time I buy from them, like a week later, they're like, hey, what did you think? I always say, we need a dancing toaster.
You're a good friend. I appreciate it.
Because I really have nothing else to say to them.
You're a very good friend and a confidant. That song goes.
I do think one of these days there will be a dancing toaster.
Yeah, they're going to do it just to shut me up, and then that's going to give me more power that I really need. Because do we really need me with power?
Thoratol.
Well, what will happen is what they'll do, it'll be one of their April Fool's pranks that actually does exist.
They do exist.
That needs – yeah, because one of the Tauntaun sleeping bag was an April Fool's. And now
it actually has it. Holy crap.
And I have it.
I think also, was it the whole unicorn meat thing? That was an April Fool's thing, and they actually made that happen?
Has anybody bought that? Is that spam? What is that?
No one knows. I don't even know if anybody that's actually bought it. I think just because it's awesome to show your friends. It's like, look, it does exist.
If you have bought the unicorn meat and opened it and eaten it, please email and tell us what it was.
Yes. Please do. Ghostheads@gmail.com. I totally want to hear about this. Because I haven't had the, the will to order it.
Restrained from the fact of the dancing toaster. That's what I want. I can't explain why I want it because, frankly, I don't know myself. These things just sort of... These ideas just going to, like, hit my head like a dart. Stick there. They hurt like a dart.
Yeah.
But they don't leave. Like, I can pull the dart out. With this, it just kind of sticks there and just it hurts a lot more. And the thinky parts of my brain aren't right, okay?
Well, I would probably say the reasoning would be behind that is because of just the obscurity of it. Since it was only literally on screen for like a minute.
Think Geek has a Sheldon. I don't know if you guys watched The Big Bang Theory. But Sheldon was the radar effect for Halloween on an episode. And they have that for sale on ThinkGeek.com.
I'll give you one better.
Born in one episode. So I don't think obscurity is really... I don't know.
One better. Look at the entire Star Wars action figure line. I'd say a good 85 to 90% of the figures that have been made are characters that have been in a background scene that you have not even seen their whole entire body.
I have several Cantina.
Exactly.
Who I have no idea who they are.
No. But this toaster was an integral part of the movie for at least 25 seconds. Therefore, I think it deems worthy of being made into an actual device.
What if it's the littlest dancing toaster?
No, there's an angle. There's an angle. I see the angle, yeah.
this has to be the actual style of toaster from the movie that actually works as both a dancing device and a toasting device. You can't half-ass this. You have to go full bore, balls to the wall, toast to the toast, toaster on this. I don't want to see a crappy reproduction. I want this thing to actually work. If we could put a man on Jupiter, which hasn't happened, yeah. If we could put a man on New Jersey, which sadly has happened, we can make an instant toaster for me. If the rover on Mars can tweet, we can make a dancing toaster. If Firefly can get a season 2, which it will happen, mark my words, it will happen. Don't give me that look. It will happen. I will get my dancing toaster.
Now
put up a Facebook picture that actually has a photo of himself.
I think you will get your dancing toaster before there will be a second season of Firefly. How's that?
That much is certain.
I'm that optimistic.
I'll take it.
Very truthy where I throw my optimism, and I will throw my optimism to your dancing toaster long before I throw it to a second season of Firefly.
Well, on that note,
really should end on that note.
It's an interesting note to end on. Aaron, is there any projects or any, you know, anything special you'd like to promote?
Gooligans DVD is out there now. You can get it at gooligans.com. I play Ginger. I am a ghoulie girl, and it's a fun romp. It's kind of a web series, and it's a combination of Pee-wee's Playhouse meets the Universal monsters, the Wolfman, Frankenstein, Mummy. We threw a zombie in there for fun. Gooligans DVD is out now. You should Google the Gooligans Super Show. And Minions of Gozer on January 11th at Full Cup in Staten Island.
Alrighty. Luke, is there anything you want to promote or anything like that?
Website, LC Photo Works, PHOTOWERX.com. Buy stuff so I can eat food, because if you don't buy stuff, I'm going to starve, and I'm already skinny. We don't need that. What else can I promote? Minions of Gozer at the Full Cup.
Hey.
Oh, wait, that's already been done. Can I promote a third thing?
Sure, why not?
Malamars are tasty, and they're in season. So I think you should go get some Malamars. You really shouldn't put an open mic in front of it, because I'm going to use it. I thought like 3 years into this, you'd learn to stop doing that by this point.
Well, actually, I'll be honest. It's interesting to see what you're going to come up with, so that's why I keep doing it.
Well, since I have the mic open, support your local fire department. They put fires out, and they save you, and they use the Joseph Light. Also, Bill de Blasio is going to be the new mayor of New York City, which means there's no more Bloomberg. So that's something we should cheer for. That comes into effect on New Year's Day. So
like change.
But we do like change, because Bill de Blasio is roughly 30 feet tall on a good day. And we need a mayor like that, because we could save on ladder bills when it comes to putting lights on top of Christmas trees and stars on top of Christmas trees. In fact, I'm pretty sure that Bill de Blasio put the star on top of the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree by himself.
It wasn't Brian Williams?
No, nobody cares about Brian Williams anymore. See, this is why you don't put an open mic in front of me, because I'm going to just yammer on and on and on.
Alrighty, well, I think
you learned your lesson?
At least for this episode.
I gave the wrong website. Hang on. So, sorry. I was talking about the Gooligans earlier. The website is thegooligans.com, or you can go to shop.slackpackproductions.com to get Gooligans DVDs, and they're also on YouTube. Sorry. I had to correct myself.
That's all right. That's all right. Sounds good for me.
I can be found on Tumblr at ectog6.tumblr.com.
Alrighty.
I celebrate Canada.
You celebrated Canada? What?
Canada. See, Canada is when people go online on Saturdays.
Yes, Caturday.
Ah, okay.
Jason, do you have any place that you can be reached?
Pretty much no. Other than, you know, just through ghostheads.com. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, running gags, you know, major rants that you feel need to be vetted through about 12 different sources, email us, ghostheads@gmail.com.
If you build things and don't buy them, you could also talk to us, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ghostheads@gmail.com. We read everything, and then we wonder why we read it all. But I digress. You can also check us out on Facebook. There is still a Facebook group, because Facebook still has groups, amazingly. Just search for Ghostheads. You know, just hit the option that you want to become a member, and we'll take a look and make you a member. Well, that is it for this edition of Ghostheads.
Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, and Happy New Year.
Happy Festivus.
And a Happy New Year to all. I'm Jason Hughes.
I'm Luke Fanboy Chris Alley.
I'm Aaron Roberts, I guess.
We'll see you next time.
Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. They called the Ghostbusters and the End Control. Had a throwing party for a bunch of children. Well, all the while, the slime was under the building. So they packed up and grew, got a grip, came equipped, grabbed their proton packs off the back, and they split. Found out about Beagle, the master of evil. Try to battle my boys? That's not legal. The End Control.
Baby.
When the light is green, the trap is clean.